Welcome to the Leadership Network podcast. I'm Greg Ligon. Today I'm with three pastors who are also authors in our publishing partnership with Zondervan and Joseph Bass. We have with us today Dave Gibbons, who's pastor at New Song Church, also author of the upcoming book Monkey and the Fish, Kevin Harney, the author of Leadership from the Inside Out, and Dave Browning, pastor at Christ the King and author of the forthcoming Deliberate Simplicity. Welcome, guys. We're glad you're here this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
We were recently together at the Leadership Network home offices and discussing some emerging forms and issues related to leadership. And today we wanted to share with you just a few of those thoughts. I'm going to go to Dave Gibbons first. And one of the things that you talked about, Dave, were some kind of new vocabulary that was developing around leadership. Share with us a little bit about that.
Well, as you know, currently, you know, America as well as the world is facing some major economic shifts. And not only do we see that there's transitions in terms of global wealth being transferred from the West to the East, but at the same time we're seeing that there's these generational, societal, and cultural shifts. And these transitions actually catalyze a lot of movement, especially when it comes to language and nomenclature. Two examples of this that I think that are current for me is one, of course, in the past you saw how Little Creek and Saddleback, they were brilliant in how they kind of framed for the baby boomer almost a business common man language that was different from the more formal language, which was their predecessors. Now, as we're looking to the future, you know, there's some other shifts that are occurring. There's been a lot of discussion, for example, with multi-ethnic and diversity. And as I talk to corporate execs around the world, I discover from them that these affirmative action type workshops are quite boring, and they find them kind of abstract and somewhat diffused. And so, again, I think there's a call for maybe a new framing of language. And I think this is a task of every generation, is to create these new languages. And so for us, you know, we try to move towards, instead of saying like multi-ethnic or diversity, we try to be a little more specific and talk about third culture. And the reason for this is when people talk about multiculturalism or diversity, they tend to think of skin color or maybe geography. But being in a global village now and the fusion of cultures that are occurring, especially in the urban centers, it's hard, you know, you're seeing, if you talk to human resource managers and directors, that many people, like 30% to 50% of the people, mark other in the categories of ethnic group because they can't be identified with the current categories. And so I think third culture for us is the way we're trying to pursue a framing of language within our context. But again, it's all because of the shifts.
That's exciting stuff. One of the things that in our conversation last week, Dave, that Larry Osborne commented on was he saw some of these are similar kinds of conversations that happened, you know, several generations ago. How are you seeing some new things, some ways that this conversation is being framed in a new way, perhaps that it was in an earlier stage?
Yeah, I remember Larry saying that. I think, you know, nothing's new under the sun. Every generation, again, has to kind of figure out their language. But there are differences, I think, because what is different is there's like this wiki, open source type of movement that has emerged where everybody plays. And while that was true in terms of everybody believing in the priesthood of the believer, I'm not sure if there's been as great of a movement in terms of maybe thinking bivocationally more and thinking about being tent makers, especially when you understand that most of the churches around the world, you know, 90% or more, are probably 100 people or less and probably can't afford a professional pastor. So I think there is some differences culturally in terms of how people view networks and their participation. But also the other shift that's probably a little different is, again, the fusion of cultures and how we're connected across the globe, where I can have conversations with, you know, 10 different people from 10 different countries at the same time. So it calls for, I think, a different type of framework.
It's interesting. One of the things you said in that last little bit was some people can't even afford, you know, to have a pastor in traditional sense. I know, Kevin, that's part of what I think you were talking about, and just in terms of how some of the new financial realities are changing leadership development models. Say a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Nobody questions that we're in a
unique and challenging financial time right now, nationally and internationally. One of the things I found, and I work with churches kind of across the country, there's churches that are ranging from a mindset that says we can add no more staff right now for the foreseeable future, or even to, you know, 20 to 45% of the staff being cut because of the financial challenges. And a church that I met with just this last week and spent 4 days kind of processing these the realities they're facing, in the midst of one of the conversations with their church staff and their church board, I just kind of use the term off the cuff. What you're doing right now is you're really moving towards pragmatic desperation. They're saying, hey, we need to learn how to raise up the gifts of God's people, use more volunteers, whether you talk about lay ministry, whether you talk about the priesthood of all believers, which was just mentioned a moment ago, whatever term you use, the church is now saying we have to use our volunteers. But they're not doing it initially out of a biblical ideology. They're doing it out of desperation because they can't afford to have staff people for most of these positions. 2 years ago, if you needed to fill a 10 or 20-hour a week position, what would your response have been? And they said, hire someone. I said, what about right now? Not a chance in the world. We're not hiring anybody. We have to use volunteers. So because of that, what's happening is a lot of churches are rediscovering 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, these key passages in Scripture that talk about leaders equipping the saints for the work of ministry, being the body of Christ, letting love govern the whole body as we function together, being truly a family of God, all serving together. And what's interesting is you know, this cycles through church history from the first century to the Reformation, even in the 1960s, 1970s, people like, you know, Ray Steadman wrote Body Life, and in the 70s, Frank Tillipa wrote Unleashing the Church. In the 80s, there was this movement. C. Peter Wagner developed spiritual gifts inventories and tests. Eventually, Willow Creek jumped on that with their networking. And so those things are still out there, and they're on the radar. But what's happening is churches are saying, as we understand, you know, new forms of leadership, we're moving back to something new that isn't new. It's something old. We're moving back to the way things, you know, could be, probably should be. And one of the things I'm saying to churches that are making the shift is, if in 3 to 5 years we're in a different financial reality and you can afford to hire professionals for everything you do in the church, don't. Stay with this model because it's biblical.
That's great. As you think about having that new workforce, if you would, mm-hmm. in terms of the laity really being released, I know one of the issues that oftentimes is raised is how do you fully equip them for their work. And I know even some of those, in our conversations from last week, even some of those models of what training and development and release look like are beginning to look a little bit different as well. Dave Browning, share with us a little bit about kind of what you're seeing in that area and maybe some of the ways you're beginning to do that at Christ the King.
Well, just to pick up on what Kevin was saying, I think we still need some professional staff or, you know, leaders who are giving this their vocation. But to have them shift from doing the ministry to seeing that the ministry gets done is, I think, an important shift for us right now. And along that line, we've really made deployment, and that word kind of a key word in our culture, that it's all about deploying people in their area of giftedness and passion. And the process we try to use with people is identify, deploy, train, and support, which is maybe a little different than what I grew up with, which was identify, train, deploy, and support. We deploy first, then train. And our goal is to try to get people in the game as quickly as we possibly can. And we keep the bar for entry as low as we possibly can. And then we come alongside them immediately, and we find that once they're in the game, several things happen. One is they become a more motivated learner, because now they really do need the information we have to share with them, as opposed to the old model where they would sit in a class and maybe fill in the blank, you know, and we'd talk to them, you know, abstractly about ministry and people and doing small group work or whatever. When they're actually in a group leading it and they see the dynamics, they know how much they need to know. And so they seem to be more motivated. And it creates a culture over time where everybody knows that if they encounter someone who has something on their heart to do, that the answer is yes. And instead of, you know, thinking through all the reasons why you can't do that right now, or you might be able to do it in the future, but you've got to clear these hurdles, the hurdles are gone. We're ready to go. and then we just make it a journey, you know, get alongside of them and support them the best we can. But we found that switching those two words around, deploying first and then training, has accelerated the pace quite a bit, because some people just would bail on us when they realized they had to go through a class or have some kind of a arbitrary standard they had to hit first. It kind of runs against our culture, where you can immediately log on and begin to participate. We're seeing that people enjoy that same opportunity when it's presented to them in the church.
Thanks, Dave. Again, this is Greg Ligon with Leadership Network, and today we've been with Dave Gibbons from New Song Church, author of the upcoming release, Monkey and the Fish, Kevin Harney, author of Leadership from the Inside Out, and Dave Browning from Christ the King Church, author of Deliberate Simplicity, to release here in the next few weeks. Hope everyone has a great day, and I appreciate your joining us today.